Welcome, St. Louis and beyond, to Five Questions, a critical mass for the visual arts podcast. This is episode 2, and I am your host, Joe Colburn, and this time I'll be interviewing Brett Williams. Just like last time, I'm going to be focusing on creatives with connections to St. Louis, but I'm not going to just be asking the same questions you hear time and again. These short episodes will be released as we record them, and I will do my best to unearth interesting responses pertaining to these five questions. So before we get started, I just want to tell you a little bit more about our artist today, Brett Williams. He received his Master's of Fine Arts in 1998 from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, and he also received his BFA from the same organization in 1996. His selected exhibitions, performances, and screenings were at Expo Chicago in 2013, the Contemporary Art Museum in St. Louis, Spiderbug Green in Chicago, the Bruno David Gallery, Yellow Bear Projects, Floor Length and Tux in Chicago, St. Louis Community College Forest Park, the Luminary Center for the Arts, PSTL Gallery, which is in St. Louis, Open Lot, which is in Nashville, the Hyde Park Art Center in Chicago, the Nightingale Theater in Chicago, MAPS Contemporary Art Space in Belleville, Illinois, the Ellen Curley Gallery in St. Louis, the Boots Contemporary Art Space, which is also in St. Louis, Kunstrom Kreuzberg in Bithynien in Berlin, Germany, the Toy Shop Collective in Brooklyn, and Gallery 210 at the University of Missouri St. Louis, as well as White Flag Projects, which formerly in St. Louis. All right, Brett, have you prepared yourself mentally, physically, spiritually for these questions, for these five questions?
I tried.
Okay. All right, so the first one, why do you do this to yourself? Why art?
Why do I do it? Well, you know, almost everybody who makes art says that they've been making it since they were a very young child, and that's the only thing they can do, kind of thing. Well, that's kind of my answer is, but I mean, there is a detour, right? I had the creativity kind of taken away from me in grade school, around fifth grade, by a teacher who just didn't like me and just kind of made her mission to keep me from making any kind of art of any kind. So there was a long period there when I just didn't do anything creative, drawing or anything like that. And that came back to me in high school. But before that, I was just always kind of making drawings on things, paper, whatever, cutting stuff up, building objects out of Legos and things like that. So why do I do that? I just, it's one of these things that I keep coming back to. I've had non-art related jobs through high school and college, and I always come back to making art. So I think it's one of the things that I kind of have to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then which one of your works that you have made do you think is most likely to end up in a suburban basement?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure there's probably already one in a suburban basement.
That's going to be a popular answer, I think.
Yeah, not to sound like a previous podcast, but when I was at Florissant Valley, St. Louis Community College at Florissant Valley, I was going in my second year, and one of the women that worked in the office that I happened to be a student worker in commissioned me to do a piece for her, based on a story that she had written. Mm-hmm. And she's very, and I'm, you know, I have no way of really knowing this, but she seemed very suburban to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the time, you know, I was, you know, in my 20s, and she was older even then. So she, you know, probably in her late 50s, early 60s. So, you know, if she's still alive, it's probably in her suburban home.
Mm-hmm.
If she's dead, it's probably in storage in somebody's basement, right? Or mm-hmm. has been thrown out. So I'm pretty sure that that piece, which was a mixed media piece based on a story that she wrote, is probably in some suburban something.
Yeah, and how do you feel about that? I feel like we should follow up that question with a sub question.
How do I feel about my work being in a maybe a storage bin or in a trash can?
Yeah. Or just a suburban, like a finished basement, we'll say.
One could hope it was a finished basement. It's probably just like your basic, you know, unfinished basement that leaks. I think the chances that anybody's art would end up somewhere other than a museum or a place of honor is a good chance, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
You still hear stories today, whether they're true or not, of people finding priceless works of art by famous dead artists in attics or in basements or at garage sales. So if that piece still survives, or, I mean, honestly, any of the pieces that I've probably made that have been sold somewhere probably have ended up in some suburban basement right. or living room or sewing room or something that's not even used anymore, right? Storage right. locker that has been auctioned off.
Right, right. Okay, so what do you think needs to happen in St. Louis?
Wow, that's a huge question. There's a lot of things that need to happen here. Are you talking art-wise or just in general?
Let's start with art, and we can move out from that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think one of the biggest problems here in St. Louis is the areas where artists do exist are isolated from one another. And other cities I've been to where the art world is spread out, there's public transportation that connects those areas.
Right.
And so it's a little easier to get around to, say, an art opening on one side of town and then go to the museum downtown or whatever. That doesn't happen here as easily because you either have to get in a car or take a bus or maybe Metrolink if it goes anywhere near what it needs to go to get you to that area.
Right.
And so our public transportation system in St. Louis is not very good. I've ridden it many times to get places, and it takes a lot longer than it should. Sometimes the bus doesn't come after peak hours, might be 45 minutes to an hour.
Sure.
Might not even stop when it's supposed to. Might pass you by.
Okay, so based on what you're talking about with public transportation, at the mayoral debate for the Citizen Artist St. Louis thing, I don't know if you remember, but the mayoral candidates were kind of talking around that. They mentioned a whole bunch of different things, but they never said anything about how things like infrastructure affect the arts. They were just talking about infrastructure and or the arts, not how those things hang together.
Right, and I think that's a problem, right? It seems like the majority of leadership in the city or in some of these art organizations don't even understand what artists do, right?
Right.
And I think if you can't get people to where the artists are, you're not going to have a thriving arts community. And
right.
if artists can't get out of where they're at to go see other artists or get into other neighborhoods, you're going to have that problem.
Yeah, and everyone's siloed then, and no one's talking to each other.
Exactly. And so I'm not surprised that the mayoral candidates didn't pick up on that. I think the majority of them, like most leaders in places, just think art is a hobby.
Right.
Right. In fact, many of them in the forum talked about how they liked art as a kid or how their children like art. And I think it deprofessionalizes
right.
what we do. And it makes them completely unaware, you know? And I think that needs to change. And they need to be educated. And we've been trying, and I don't think they're open to listening to art being a profession.
Right. And that's what one of the things that I think a lot of conversations are centering on now is how do you leverage what we have as artists into those conversations? Because, you know, it's also kind of like Larry Rice was talking about, well, all of you need to volunteer, you know, and everyone needs to like step up and help me decorate these abandoned buildings because that's the real problem is graffiti or whatever. But I mean, it just totally misses the point, like you're saying, that art is a profession. These are like intellectual pursuits. These are valuable beyond just, oh, look, it's pretty.
Right. Right. Yeah, I didn't go to graduate school to get an MFA to give my work away for free
right.
to anybody. And why is my MFA not as important as somebody with a medical degree or a judicial doctorrate?
Or like, an MBA.
Or
right?
MBA.
It took 1 year.
Right, or a PhD or what, or whatever. I mean, my master's degree makes me an expert in my field, and
right.
I should be paid accordingly. So when somebody like Larry Rice says that I should volunteer my services to paint an abandoned building to cover up graffiti. Graffiti is already art.
Right.
You know, it's already being painted an abandoned building. But the idea that I should step and volunteer my services carries through a whole strain of things that are wrong with the art scene here. There's institutions here that are supposed to be about art that want artists to donate their time for free, right, or give you an exhibition to bring people into their space but not want to pay you a stipend or an honorarium. They don't try to put artists with collectors or a collector base to buy the work. So largely we are giving our work away or not selling it at all. And we keep hearing how important the arts are to communities, but I don't see it. I see a lot of artists making really good work, that work that should be selling for, at the minimum, sometimes $2,000 going for $25.
Right.
You know, because people won't value it. They'll go out and pay $300 for one ticket to a football game, right, and spend another $300 on beer and parking and food. But if you say, and they say, hey, I like that painting, and you say, well, it's $500, they're like, Jesus Christ, that's too much money. How about 25 or something like that? Right. Or people will go to the Fox and spend $300 on a musical, you know, per person.
Right.
And you ask them to pay you for your work, and they look at you like your head just fell off. So until we educate not just the leaders, but even some of the people that run the art institutions and artists themselves, right? So many artists are so willing to give away something for free for exposure. I'm so sick of hearing that. Well, it's good exposure. I don't need exposure. I've been making art for well over 20 years in this time, or well, not 20 years, but well over 15, and I don't need any more exposure. I need to be able to pay my studio rent.
Right.
I need to be able to buy materials. I need to be able to put gas in my car, pay my mortgage. I need to be able to do those things, and exposure doesn't help me. Selling a piece for $150 that should be going for $5,000 doesn't even cover my time of just walking into my studio.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, public transportation, professionalizing the arts, educating the people that should know better,
right,
about what our profession is, and that would go a long way. The other thing I think that needs to happen is we need some real art criticism in this town. We had vestiges of it in the past, and we do have All the Art, which is an arts quarterly, but we need some serious criticism. A lot of it's cheerleading. A lot of it's just glossing over something and saying it's good, or a description of what it is, when there's some serious flaws in some work and that needs to be pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Some artists get celebrated when they're frankly not ready to, because they're lacking any guidance. And I'm not saying malicious criticism. I'm not saying calling people out. I'm not saying people shouldn't be successful at various levels right away or whatever. I'm saying that there's some things that if we did look critically at some work and talk about it in a critical way, there would be probably better art.
It's that opportunity to actually improve based on those criticisms. Right?
I think so. I think so. And I think that's another profession that's been delegitimized or deprofessionalized. You know, we don't even have an arts writer for the major newspaper, right? If it is the arts section, it's just an advertisement for what's going on at the Fox or a description of a show.
Yeah, or you get that yearly Riverfront Times thing that's like the 12 best art things to do in St. Louis, and it's always just the Fox and it's the same stuff every year, pretty much.
Best gallery, and then it's gone the next year because no one supports it. Or like best rock band. You know, it's like if all your friends vote for you to be the best whatever, guess what? You're probably going to win it, right?
Yeah,
So not to put that down. I mean, anybody would like to get some recognition that way, but I don't think it is always sincere, right?
Yeah.
These best of lists, and really that doesn't do much for anybody, really. I mean, I guess it does do something for them, it publicizes them, but it doesn't translate into sales for your work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so do you think that has to do with, so you were talking about kind of the siloing of different parts of the art world, right? Maybe part of that criticism is because we don't have a fully developed sort of art ecosystem, people are afraid of alienating their, you know, quote, friends, rather than thinking, I'm a critic and so I need to just do my job. Because if you look at like, you know, Greenberg or someone like that, nobody liked him.
Right.
I mean,
that was kind of
his thing. But he'd come in and he's like, you know what? I really like cubism or whatever, and I'm gonna push that.
Yeah, well, I think one of the big problems, and I've had this conversation with people, and there's been pushback on it, that artists want to do everything but be artists, right? They want to be artists, curators, writers.
Right.
And I know a lot of people do the different things because they need to, right? If they're not showing work, they may have an opportunity to curate or something like that, or maybe they need multiple income streams that maybe they're probably not even being paid for the other things. But
right.
And there's very few people that can do all those things and do them well.
Sure.
But we have a lot of artists in St. Louis that want to do that, and more power to them. But I think if you're an artist and you're trying to write criticism, it might hurt you career-wise, right?
Right.
Or it might be hard for you to think and write critically about somebody who you know, you respect their work, but you have to write something about it. Or if you're a critic and now you're curating shows, that also makes it to where we don't have to have curators and we don't have to have critics because right. artists are doing it all. And I've heard people say, well, you know, artists got to fill the niche that's not being filled. And I think that's true. But I also think that lets certain people off the hook, right?
Yeah.
If artists sat back and said, we're not going to be curators, we're not going to write, we're not going to do this, we're just going to be artists, maybe other people who want to do those things who don't want to be artists might step up and do that.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't take on multiple roles. I mean, we all do it. And I'm sure that I'll probably do it somewhere down the line. And people will probably say, oh, you're a hypocrite. And well, I mean, I'll admit to it. I could be a hypocrite. But what I'm getting at is there's so many people that do that so much.
Right.
And it kind of keeps other people from doing things. I would love it if there's a person in town that wanted to be a critic that didn't also want to be an artist.
Right.
You know? Or somebody who was an artist who didn't want to just curate all the time, or a curator of a space who used to be an artist but wants to be a curator but then wants to control what the artist does and things. You know, I mean,
right.
I think that's a huge problem here.
So you're talking about like some specialization amongst the particular like career path you're choosing, like saying I'm going to focus on my art, I'm going to be a curator, I'm going to mm-hmm. be a creator. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And it's not just St. Louis. It happens everywhere. And I haven't figured it out. And it bothers me. And I have this conversation with people and I get a lot of pushback from it. People are like, I do all that. Why, you know, do you think badly of me? And I'm like, no, I don't think badly of you, but your art's pretty good. It might be even better if you chose not to do all these other things that's taking up your time from being in the studio.
Right.
Or, hey, maybe you're not such a good artist, but you're a better writer. So maybe you should be a writer. Maybe back off. I mean, I'm just saying some of these unpopular things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it would help us to kind of coalesce around making the art scene a little healthier, more healthy.
Sure. Right. All right. So on that note, then, what do you wish someone would ask you about your work, art or otherwise?
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, people ask me the basics about my work, right? And no one ever asked me what I need as an artist.
Mm,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, what do you need as an artist to survive? What do you need as an artist to have a good studio practice? What do you need in the way of support from a community or from an individual? Or, you know, hey, Brett, I really like your work. What do you need from me? You know, do you need me to connect you with a collector? Do you need me to connect you with a gallery? Do you need me to connect you with whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the reason why I'm asking that, I had a studio visit with Char Araman last summer. And at the end of it, she said, what do you need from me besides what we just talked about? And that was the first time, I guess, someone asked me, what do I need? And
right.
I said, I would like you to introduce me to certain people I need to be introduced to, or at least put a good word in for me if I can, you know, if you can. And I think that was important. I really appreciated that she offered that to me.
Right.
She didn't have to.
Right.
She could have come and done the studio visit and said, thanks, you know,
almost left.
See you later, you know. But she took the time to really ask me about my work and also just delve into where I was at right now with my career and what I was struggling with, and took an interest in me as an artist, you know, as somebody who shared an hour-long heart-wrenching studio visit, you know, with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's giving you a place to go then, and not just
yeah.
tell me the same thing that you tell everyone else every time they talk.
Yeah.
To you.
I mean, I asked her based on my work. I had said, like, my work is hard to place in St. Louis, and I don't think sometimes my audience is here. Where would you suggest I look, you know, besides saying New York or whatever? And she said, well, there's places in New York, LA, and things like that that I think your work would fit in well. And she asked me if I knew of these places, a couple of the galleries, and I said, yes, I did or I didn't. And she said, well, I think your work would really fit in well with their curatorial bent
mm-hmm.
or the work they show. And I said, oh, great. And I said, if I were to make contact with whoever runs the space or curates the space, would you give them a heads up, like an introduction, so I wasn't cold calling?
Right.
And she was kind enough to do that for me. So, I mean, opening doors, you know, for artists, I think that's another thing that needs to happen here. When artists travel outside of here, or curators go outside of here, or people that run institutions leave here for business or permanently or whatever, I think they need to, when someone asks them what's going on, where you're from, who's doing what, I think they really need to start making those introductions for people. And I don't know if they are or aren't. I'm just kind of painting with a broad brush, but I'm saying specifically, like, they should make those introductions. And then when they get back here, tell the people that the artist that they think would fit with that, hey, I just talked to this curator in Cincinnati, or this person that runs a space in New York or in LA, that they asked what was going on and I mentioned you, you know, or your work. I really think you should give them a call, you know, because we never hear of that. You know, we hear of that maybe after the fact, or we hear it from somebody else. Right.
Yeah.
But we never hear that as artists. So I think that needs to change for artists to get their name outside of here, and also for St. Louis to start making a name outside of just the Midwest.
Right. Okay, so then based on that, what's your end game?
My
end game. Lay it out for us.
My end game. My end game. Well, my end game is to continue to make work and to, you know, sell work, apply for and receive grants, but also just show at spaces that I haven't shown at, right? You know, like the Holy Grails of spaces, you know, I don't know, Great Rivers Biennial or the Regional Arts Commission Fellowship, you know, those kind of things. But beyond that, I think I need to also start doing residencies, get out of St. Louis a little bit more, you know, and come back. But my end game, I think, is just like everybody else, is to be successful in whatever way that means.
Right.
But while doing that, my end game is also to be a connector of people locally to other things, like, you know, like other artists I know who their work might fit somewhere, you know, try to introduce them to somebody else, or do the studio visit with them, or help them with grant. If they've written a grant before and they were rejected, looking at it and maybe giving them some pointers, especially if it's something that I have won, you know, before, like if right. like Critical Mass, if I've won that and I know of an artist who's applied for it, was rejected from it, I think it's good for me to reach out to them and look at their application and see what they did or didn't do that might help. So my end game, I guess, is to help, to be a part of the solution, to try to do what I can to make the art world here more healthy,
mm-hmm.
you know, help myself, but also help other people, and try to get artists to be able to not just eke out a living, you know,
right.
And I don't have the answers, but I think as long as I'm working honestly towards that, not just trying to promote myself, not for my own well-being, if I'm really honestly trying to help other people while I'm helping myself, I think that that can only be a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. So my end game, I guess I keep saying that, is to expand what I'm doing here, but also put the tentacles out outside of here so we're not just considered a flyover city.
Right.
You know, or that people's, when they hear the Midwest, they don't just think of Chicago as being the art center or Kansas City.
Right.
Right. We're somewhere in between those two things. And that's a shitty place to be. We're like the middle child that gets ignored between Kansas City and Chicago. So I don't know. My end game is not to starve to death and, you know, and be, you know, kicked out of my place because I can't pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's totally reasonable end game. Right. Well, thank you. Thanks to Brett Williams for joining us. And that's it for this episode of Five Questions. For those of you who don't know, Critical Mass for the Visual Arts is a nonprofit self-formed visual arts collaborative dedicated to promoting, enhancing, and initiating contemporary art in St. Louis. And you can get this podcast wherever you get your other podcasts or at criticalmassart.org/5questions. You can also follow us on Twitter at Critical Mass STL.